Grace, mercy, and peace are yours. From God our Father, from our perfect Redeemer, our Lord Jesus Christ, proclaim to us through God the Holy Spirit as we hear His precious word. My dear fellow redeemed, this evening as we focus our attention on the Last Judgment, we would like to narrow our focus just a bit on a portion of our gospel lesson that we read moments ago. So here again, once these words from John 5, this time verses 22 through 24. In fact, the Father judges no one, but has entrusted all judgment to the Son, so that all should honor the Son, just as they honor the Father. Whoever does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Amen, amen, I tell you. Anyone who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He is not going to come into judgment, but has crossed over from death to life. These last couple of weeks of the Christian church year are rather exciting weeks, as we get ready to move once again into another church year that allows us to retrace the steps and the plan of our salvation. These last 4 weeks take us to the end of time. Kind of exciting when you think about what we talked about last week, how that amazing gospel has been proclaimed all these years, preserved so that you and I can hear that amazing proclamation that in Christ, by the gift of faith, you and I know that grace is ours. The Scriptures tell us so. Next week, you and I are going to be coming back and we are going to rejoice in saints triumphant. We're winners. In the week after that, rejoice in the fact that Christ is King. Which leaves tonight. Last Judgment. Is that just as exciting? I have an idea that when we think about Reformation and the Gospel Proclamation and Saints Triumphant and Christ the King, we like to talk about those things. Let's not talk about Last Judgment. Let's not talk about standing in a courtroom. Let's not talk about standing in front of a judge. I don't really want to think all that much about this idea that books are opened up and all the things that you and I have done and said and thought are laid out there for everybody to see. That doesn't sound all that exciting. I'd just as soon not talk about it. And yet we focus our attention on Last Judgment this evening because, and the reason, because it's a little bit scary to us, is, as Jesus reminds us, we've crossed the line. Can you think of a better reason to not go into judgment? Can you think of a better reason to not stand in front of somebody who is able to remind you you've crossed the line? And it's not just a line, and it's not just any line. Think about all the lines you and I have crossed throughout our lifetime. Pick a commandment. 10 different lines, really. And we've crossed them. Fourth commandment. Think about what we did this last week. Last week on Tuesday, we gathered together to take part in the running of our government as we elected officials. And yet think of how many times as we do that, or as we not do that, that we find ourselves not trying to fix the problem, not trying to do things to make anything better, but we grumble, we complain, we belittle, we ignore, we rebel. Instead of giving those representatives that God has placed over us the respect that is due them, we find ways to talk about them and talk them down. Fifth commandment. Think about how many times we've crossed the line by doing things that hurt and harm the life that God has given to us and the pain that we have inflicted on others. Sixth commandment. Think about how many times we've crossed the line, married or not married, the things that make us giggle in the high school hallways, the things that we talk about, the things that we watch on television, the places where our eyes go, how we talk about the old lady or the old man, how we describe marriage to those who are around us, how by our silence we end up condoning the sins that are all around us, perhaps even in our own family, and maybe even with our voices promoting worldly ideas of what it means to be male or female. We've crossed the line. Seventh commandment. After all the stuff is mine. It's been given to me. I worked for it. It's mine. And nobody else has a right to want it or to ask for it, to beg for it. All the church wants is my money. I'm not going to do anything to fix that because it's mine. We've crossed the line. Eighth commandment. Go back to your posts. What do you say as you hide behind that little keyboard? How do you talk about others? How do you promote them? How do you tear somebody else's reputation down just so that you can feel a little bit better about yourself? We've crossed the line. And then, of course, you got the ninth and tenth commandments that remind us that we've got these sinful desires lurking within our own hearts, and they finally come busting out in all of this line crossing that we just got done talking about. No wonder we don't want to talk about last judgment, because it's so obvious we've crossed the line. But there's three commandments we haven't even talked about yet. Like that rich young man that we described a number of weeks ago, we can at times get ourselves to think that commandments 4 through 10, we're pretty good at those. We're not as bad as some. But then you hear Jesus say, whoever does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Now you're talking first commandment. The Son gets the same honor as the Father does. The Father gets the same honor as the Son does. And the moment you refuse honor to either Father, Son, or Holy Spirit for that matter, you are now an idolater. You have just made up your own version of a God, different from the one that's revealed to us in Holy Scripture. You have just created your own idea of what you think a God ought to be, and then you've created your own idea of how He's going to be serving you instead of you serving Him. So what happens when we say God's name? Does His name cross our lips because we are busy praying and praying, praising and giving thanks? Or have we created some other reason to say His name? What's worship all about? Doing it just simply because that's what you're supposed to be doing? Put in your time, go through the motions, check off that to-do list for the week? Or is it because we love to hear what God has to say? We've crossed the line. A big line. A line that gives God all the praise and all the honor and all the glory. So it isn't surprising to any of us at times that when it comes to this last judgment idea, we would just as soon pass it over and think about something else. But the last judgment is going to come, and we will have to be there. And so after taking a look at all those commandments, I suppose you might think about walking into God's courtroom something like this. Very slowly, I don't want to look up. I don't want to see the one who's looking at me and all the times I cross the line. But eventually you do need to look up when you walk into that courtroom. And there's a couple of things that are unexpected. You walk into that courtroom, and the one sitting behind the judge's bench you would expect to be the Father. Right? After all, He's the one who made us. He's the one who created us to be in His image. He is the one who demands and expects that you honor, serve, and obey Him, and that you treat Him as the way you're supposed to do. You do everything that God created you to be. That's His expectation. And so we would expect that the one who laid all of that down for us would then make His judgment based on His will and His ways. But we look up, and it is not the Father sitting behind the bench. The reason that you and I are to honor the Son just as we honor the Father was told us in verse 22. In fact, the Father judges no one, but has entrusted all judgment to the Son, so that all should honor the Son just as they honor the Father. Now that's unexpected. Your defense attorney is the one sitting behind the bench. Your defense attorney is the one holding the gavel. The one who is already there to defend you is the one who's going to hand down the judgment. How unexpected can you get? The one who is your Redeemer, the one who stepped into history, wrapped himself in your human flesh and never crossed the line. Your substitute never crossed the line when it came to being a son, never crossed the line when it came to be a student, never crossed the line when it came to being a neighbor or a worker, never crossed the line with the will of his heavenly Father. He never once crossed the line. He did that for you. Stepped into this world to take your place and be your substitute. And then he took that absolutely perfect life and he went to the cross. And there it looks as if he's the one who crossed the line. In fact, God the Father says he's the only one who's crossed the line. God took all of your iniquities. Every time you crossed those boundaries, every time you rebelled and refused to listen, every single iniquity has gone to that cross. Every single sin has been paid for. God made him who didn't even know sin to be sin for us. And even though he never crossed the line, this is the one who paid the ultimate penalty for all of us who crossed the line. That's your judge. That's the one who's going to tell you where you're going to spend eternity. And just as it's unexpected to see him as the judge, so now the verdict is unexpected as well, but maybe not quite as unexpected now that you're looking at Jesus behind the judge's bench. Again, you and I walk into that courtroom and you and I would expect the judgment to be guilty. I mean, how can you argue it? We say it every time we come into worship. I am by nature sinful. And if there's any doubt about it, look at the things that I say in my thoughts and in my words and in my actions. I have done what is evil and have failed to do what is good. So what's the verdict? For all this, I deserve punishment now and hell forever. That's what you and I would expect. But listen to the verdict. Amen, amen, I tell you, anyone who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. There's an unexpected verdict. Jesus says, whoever hears my word, as you read this precious Bible, as you hear the words proclaimed, as you rejoice in what your Savior has to say, you get to listen to his proclamation of the forgiveness of sins. And when you hear his word, then you believe the one who sent him. We marvel at God the Father, who created us, but also made a plan to save us, and carried out that plan to save us. We marvel at God the Son, who carried out the plan perfectly. Perfectly and completely. That's why he said it's finished, taking your sin away. God the Holy Spirit, who uses this precious gospel in the Word and in the sacraments to give you that amazing gift of faith that he asks for, so that you know that when you hear his words, you believe the one who sent them, you have eternal life. Not will have, not might have, not could have. He has eternal life. Life. You already know the judgment. That last judgment comes and it's an exciting time because Jesus is the one standing there and he's simply going to repeat what you've already heard. You're forgiven. You're mine. You've always been mine. Ever since the days of your baptism, when I attached the power of that word to that little bit of water, I claimed you as my very own. You've been living ever since. Free from the effects of sin. Free from the guilt of sin and the power of sin. Now you live and you have eternal life. He is not going to come into judgment, but has crossed over from death to life. We've crossed the line. We've crossed from death to life. We've crossed the line. Our Lord and our Savior came and He grabbed us on this side of the line, and we've crossed the line to the other side, no longer dead in sin, no longer enemies of God, no longer hostile to Him. Now we live. The last judgment is that exciting time because we've crossed the line. And now we're in His glory, living in His grace, rejoicing in His forgiveness, all because of what He has accomplished. And so now, we go to the last judgment. No longer dragging our feet and looking down, but skipping in joy with our heads lifted high, because we've crossed the line. No longer dead in sin. Now we've crossed that line, and we will be in the glory of our Lord and our God forever, because when that last judgment comes, you know exactly what you're going to hear. He is going to say, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take the inheritance prepared for you since the creation of the world." Amen.